Hello everyone and welcome back to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. On today's edition, we'll be discussing all of the action from match day 27. If you can hear that I've got a raspy voice, it's because I'm getting sick, which is not ideal, but we'll try and press through on this Easter Monday to get you through across all of the action from a very interesting match day as we head to the chase for promotion. Teams like St. Pauli and Holstein Kiel planted their flags as the real leaders in this category, whilst there are others that are fighting for the playoff spot. Down in the relegation zone, it is intense as ever, as a couple of teams were able to really put themselves in a good situation heading forward. There is definitely a lot to look forward to from match day 27. We start at the Milan Tor. St. Pauli hosted Paderborn on Sunday afternoon. A really important game for both sides. Paderborn still had an outside chance of being part of the playoff battle, but St. Pauli, of course, entered match day 27 with a 10-point advantage over Hamburg in third for that automatic promotion sort of positioning. St. Pauli were very good in the early phases, and on 32 minutes, they eventually got their goal through Marcel Hartl. An excellent through ball found Hartl, and Pelle Bovink attempted to intervene, let's just say, and Hartl chipped him with relative ease. They continued this form in the second half. Lars Ritzke scored from outside the box on 47 minutes for his second goal of the campaign. And it definitely seemed as if St. Pauli were going to roll their way through this game. They had done a very good job in transition play, and especially in the first half, they essentially got what they wanted. Paderborn tried to press, and as we know, when teams have pressed St. Pauli throughout this season, St. Pauli have been very good at passing the ball out, alleviating the press, and then getting on the offensive, which they did quite often. They had a few goals. They had a goal slammed through Alyosha Kemline. He was offside marginally, and that would have been the opening goal of the game, but alas, that was offside. Paderborn did start to build into the game, and on 56 minutes, they got their goal through Adriano Grimaldi. Grimaldi was really influential in the second half. He had another great chance as the half progressed, which he headed, and Nikolai Vasil, who had a really good game, was able to make the save. But unfortunately, Grimaldi's recklessness in the tackles proved to be detrimental to Paderborn in the end when he got sent off for a second yellow card for a foul on Manalas Saliakas. And it was one of those things where he didn't need to make the tackle. He could just jockey and put Saliakas under pressure. He essentially two-foots him in the end. And unsurprisingly, he was sent off, and from there really it was difficult for Paderborn to get a foothold in the game, and ultimately St. Pauli gets the 3 points. So with certain results, St. Pauli doing what they need to do, which is continue to take care of business, and they now hold an 11-point advantage. So should things continue the way they are for St. Pauli, match day 31 is looking like the potential opportunity for St. Pauli to ascend to the Bundesliga, whether, you know, match day 31 or 32 are the likelihood. So whether that's a game against Hansa Rostock, or potentially it could be the Hamburg derby, one of the two seems at this moment in time very likely. Look, it was just a very comprehensive performance at the end from St. Pauli. Very good from Marcel Hartl. The usual suspects were really driving the wagon for St. Pauli. It was quite interesting though. We saw Hartl play a bit wider. They didn't have Elias Saad due to suspension, and they were also missing Dapo Afolayan, so they had to do a little bit of rejigging in what they were going to do structurally. So Hartl played as more of an attacking left winger. Kemline came in alongside Jackson Irvine in central midfield, and look, you know, I think that the one thing that's impressive about the St. Pauli team is that they can do this plug and play business in their midfield. They've had Metcalf in there as well when Irvine was out injured, and obviously they got Kemline over the winter break, and it's so clear and obvious that they can really, that midfield has a really foundational understanding of what needs to be done to progress the ball forward. And it was a pretty comprehensive win in the end for St. Pauli. For Paderborn, they had like a couple of like good phases in the game. But, you know, especially after the goal, after the Grimaldo goal, they definitely looked like they were going to put some pressure on on St. Pauli, and that obviously came with a second chance, and yeah, but from there they really struggled to once they went down to 10 men, it became very difficult for them to get a result. St. Pauli are at Karlsruhe on Saturday night. That's the top game, which should be a really interesting encounter. And Paderborn, they've got Hertha on Friday night. And, you know, as essentially points-wise, two teams that are mathematically still in the shout to make the playoff, but they're going to have to start repicking up some points coming up. Let's head to Kiel. Kiel welcome Hansa Rostock to the Holstein Stadion on Saturday afternoon. An important game for both sides. Holstein Kiel wanting to put the pressure on St. Pauli, but also to gap the teams below them. Rostock entered the match day in 16th place, hoping they could leapfrog out of the way and into a safe position. It started off poorly for Rostock. They conceded 3 minutes into the game through Steven Skrzybski. And in what was a pretty turgid game altogether, where high-quality chances were very limited, it became very obvious that the next goal was going to be mightily important. And of course, on 57 minutes, Kiel did. The initial shot was saved by Marcus Kolker, but he wasn't able to parry into a safe area. Lewis Holtby was the first respondent, and he put the ball in the back of the net for his fourth goal of the season. And that's a 2-0 victory for Kiel, who hold a six-point advantage over the team we'll talk about next. They're still 5 points behind St. Pauli, but they're in a very good position, and they've won, you know, the three teams in the top three have won three on the bounce, and it's been, yeah, an expectedly pretty professional performance from Kiel. You know, they minimized really Rostock's ability to have high quality scoring chances, and when their chances came, they were able to take them in a pretty simple form. Holtby was great again, and he's really having, you know, an incredible season for Kiel, and it definitely is going to be an interesting campaign should they gain promotion to the Bundesliga for the very first time. So there's a lot to look forward to with what they're doing. They clearly have a very good understanding. They've started to get players back from injury. That was the biggest thing that was sort of holding, you know, they were holding it together. But they did have a lot of injuries. Bernhansen's been really good since he signed, and it's quite interesting. They had a bit of a different mix. They took Machino on the left-hand side of the attacking three. It was a pretty comprehensive performance. We did see Jan-Fried Arp make his return from injury, and we know when he was available, he was actually playing some really good football. But they are missing some players. I mean, losing Colin Kleiner-Berkel to the end of the season with an ACL, with his return not pending until November of next season, that's a big loss for them, and obviously they haven't had much Benedikt Pickler this season either. So with what they've got, they've been able to really make things work, and yeah, they're in a very good position to do so as the season progresses. For Rostock, it was a pretty tough game for them. Quality chances were few and far between, and It just seemed like a game that got away from them in the end. And it's really hard to... We know their problems offensively have been scoring goals over the last few seasons, and they are offensively the worst team in the division in terms of goals scored. So it was their Achilles heel last season, and it's maintained that way this season. Can Rostock beat Wiesbaden on Friday night? We'll have to wait and see. For Kiel, they're at Nuremberg on Saturday, and that's a really important game for both sides, especially Kiel. Kiel want to keep the advantage going forward. And now let's talk about Fortuna Düsseldorf. They went to the Fritz Walter Stadion to take on Kaiserslautern on Saturday, and Kaiserslautern were missing a couple. We know Ragnar Ake's injury, and he might not come back for, I think it's a couple more weeks, 2-3 weeks. But they also lost Julian Kral to a hand injury, so Robin Himmelmann made his Kaiserslautern debut. He's definitely becoming sort of a pretty good emergency stopgap goalkeeper for teams in the Zweite Bundesliga, and here was no different. So yeah, they won't get Kral back for a while, for a couple of weeks, and that's the same with Ragnar Ake. But they started very well. Kaiserslautern was very impressed with their intensity and willingness to go forward, and you know, they had a couple of really good chances early on through Kolarov, and eventually they broke through with a goal from Marlon Ritter, his fifth goal of the campaign, to make it 1-0. And look, they maintained the advantage and they looked very strong for majority of the game. It was a very impressive professional performance for 75 minutes, around about 75 minutes. And then, they completely fell apart. Three goals in the space of 7 minutes, two from Christos Tsolis and Shinta Appelkamp, was enough to see Dusseldorf bolster their promotion push. They now sit in third place in the standings. Tsolis has 17 goals this season, which is equal top scorer with Haris Tabakovic. We'll talk about Hertha in Group 3. And look, it was a pretty tough game for Dusseldorf. They didn't really get going early. They were under the pump in a game which, you know, I thought Kaiserslautern were really good for good phases. Fortuna, you know, they started building the blocks in the second half, and in a game that had, you know, enough chances, the lack of high quality chances for Kaiserslautern only had one shot on target, and that was the goal from Ritter. But from there, they sort of tested the side netting a lot, or the boundaries around it. And that's the difference. Just that lack of quality up top proved detrimental. And Dusseldorf were very patient. They knew their chances were going to come. And yeah, when you've got someone like Tsolis, who's just been unbelievable this season for Fortuna, it makes a real difference. It really does. And now they're in a position where the playoff is very much a possibility. As the season progresses, it helps that they've got one of the most dangerous offenses in the division, you know, 59 goals a season, which, it compared to everyone around them, only Karlsruhe really comes close with 55. they're explosive offensively. They've definitely improved on the defensive end, and four wins out of your last five puts you in a really good position to gain promotion, or at least make the playoff. And at the moment, it's most likely you'll play either FC Köln, which would be a magical Rhine derby affair, or you're playing Mainz. So that seems the likeliest of the two outcomes. They do have some interesting games coming up. Braunschweig, and we'll talk about them soon as well, after their result and their hunger to avoid the relegation zone. And then Wiesbaden and Greuther Fürth for Kaiserslautern, who dropped to 16th. And at the moment, if they were to enter a playoff, they'd be playing, I think it's Prussian Munster, who gained promotion from the Regionalliga last season. It's going to be a big test. They've got Hamburg next week, which I just don't know they're going to be able to get a result there. As inconsistent as Hamburg have been this season, just defensively, Kaiserslautern can't be trusted. They just don't have it. And if they can't find an efficient path to goal more often without RK, it just doesn't seem like that. But of course, both these teams are in the DFB Pokal. Fortuna Düsseldorf have a date with Bayer Leverkusen, who again found a way to steal another victory late on. They were the better team, but you know, two goals late in the piece to get a result. And then Kaiserslautern, of course, got their date with Saarbrücken. And of course, the winners will make the DFB Pokal final in May, which will be, hopefully for us, it'll be these two teams going head to head once again. But we'll have to wait and see. Let's take our first break, and on the other side, we'll discuss our Group 2 games, starting with Greuther Fürth hosting Hamburger SV. After entering the international break on the back of a victory, Hamburg were hoping to continue that form when they went to Greuther Fürth on Sunday afternoon. As we know, this is typically the period where Hamburg does tend to struggle a little bit. But as we saw last season, they are capable of going on a run around crunch time and put themselves in a position to the very least make the playoffs. The playoff is really the more likely route for them once again, as we know they've been there the last couple of seasons and failed to progress. This was a game they absolutely dominated from essentially the opening whistle to virtually the end. They defended astutely, They limited chances from Fürth. And they had a plethora of opportunities of their own. In fact, they had four times as many shots on goal and six times as many shots on target than their opponents in this game. But it did take something special to break the deadlock from a set piece. Played out to Miro Muheim, who was about maybe 30 yards out, between 25, 35 yards out. He takes one touch and just puts an absolute belter past Yonis Orbig in the top corner. Orbig did an excellent effort to try and get there, but just unsavable. It was such a brilliant strike, and honestly, a goal that they deserved. They really were that in charge, but unfortunately for Hamburg, and this has sort of been the theme of their season, which is they sort of switch off, even in like small doses. And here, look, to be honest, they were very unlucky here, because as great as the Muheim goal was, Konsbrucker's goal was equally as strong. There was a nest of players in front of Mattia Raab, and it seemed he was a bit unsighted, but it's a cracking strike from Konsbrucker, who hits it on the out, it sort of gets it curling up the outside of the foot, and it's just constantly curling away into the top corner, and yeah, Raab doesn't see it clearly, and into the back of the net it goes, and a 1-1 draw. And look, Fürth, who've obviously been in a real struggle of late, I think that was six of the last seven they'd lost, they get a point, which, you know, is hopeful for them. You know, they're not going to be in the relegation battle by any stretch, but more in the sense of just getting back to that good, those feelings of getting a result against a good team. It does put them, at least, it keeps them in the hunt, although they're going to need some results. They need to start winning games if they're going to pressure the promotion playoff spot. They do have two games against relegation candidates in Osnabrück and Kaiserslautern next, which they could pick up a result in. You never know. And maybe things go their way and they could get back into it. But you got to remember, one of the youngest squads in the division. They have been going through some growing pains during this Rückrunde, but they are still good enough to make an impression. But we'll see what they can do coming up. For Hamburg, this is just, yeah, it's tough. So they lose Glatzel to injury. They play Ludovic Rice at right back. Andras Nemeth, who hasn't played a lot of football this season, gets a chance, and that man cannot buy a goal. I mean, Nemeth was really... he did all of the things you want a striker to do. He was very good at getting, you know, balls in behind the defence, making those very intelligent diagonal runs. But he just can't finish for the life of him. He just could not buy a goal. He had that one-on-one chance with Urbig, which was saved, and he had another one, which he... again, I think Urbig saved another one, so... but I think that counted as a goal kick. And yeah, look, those misses, they build the pressure a little bit. They put you under the pump, and eventually, you know, it took something special, admittedly, to get a result for Fürth, but... yeah, it's two valuable points dropped. And with Dusseldorf winning, of course, it means they drop down to fourth. And now they're playing catch-up again to make the playoff. And there are teams... well, there is a team that is definitely circling around thinking, hey, we've got a real chance here of getting a of challenging Hamburg and Dusseldorf. And we'll talk about them in a moment. But it's a hard loss. Like, it's a brutal way to lose a game of football. And the way they lost it, the way they failed to win the game, it's really easy to say this is the same Haasvall, unfortunately. But until we're proven different, it's hard not to. So at least they know they can dominate the games again under Baumgart. Lots of the ball, plenty of good scoring chances. I think they should get... Glatzel back next week, I would suspect. against Kaiserslautern, which becomes now a massive game for them. But yeah, they've got some tough games coming up. They've also got Magdeburg and then Holstein Kiel as well, which I will be at. So that will be, I'm really looking forward to that game. So we saw Dortmund win for the first time in a decade against Bayern Munich at the Allianz Arena in the Bundesliga. So maybe Hamburg can finally beat Kiel in the Zweite Bundesliga, something they haven't done since they were relegated to the Zweite Bundesliga six seasons ago. So yeah, we'll see what happens from there. It'll be really, really interesting. Let's talk about the team that is just 2 points behind them and giving chase. That's Hannover. They made the journey to Magdeburg on Sunday afternoon. And look, an important game for both sides. Hannover, of course, wanting to keep in touch. Magdeburg don't want to be dragged into this relegation battle. They have been slipping of late. They had that really rough 7-0 defeat heading into the break against Karlsruhe. And this was going to be a massive result, massive game for them. They needed to get a result. They needed to build the confidence. We know defensively they've been a bit shaky of late. In particular, it's been more noticeable. And yeah, it was just one of those weird games where Hannover were really dominant in the early phases. They get the goal through Yannick Diem, who was quite decent in this game. I thought he was quite good playing on that left-hand side of defense. And also sort of like as a wing back, it worked really well for them. Great celebration, by the way. I'm a big fan of guys who can do the flips and stuff. And yeah, it was his first goal of the season as well. So like, it's been quite interesting to see how the dynamic of Hannover has changed when they lost Derek Kuhn and now they got Samuel Royer back, who we'll talk about in a moment. You know, the pieces are coming back. They structurally look very good, and they're going to be, you know, they're pressing. They're pressing the issue as a team that could make a difference here. So Hannover really like dominated the first probably 60 minutes of the game. They probably should have been 2 or 3 up. But as often is the case, you get caught in two minds whether you want to protect the one goal lead or try and go for a second. And in the and late on, you know, Magdeburg started to bring the pressure a little bit. It was interesting that only two players were used off the bench for Christian Tietz, that being Tatsuya Ito, who came on at halftime for Cheka, who really struggled, and Brian Teixeira, who came on for the last 5 or so minutes in the game. And yeah, the changes kind of worked. I mean, Ito was definitely better than Cheka. But it's kind of a weird one. They've got so many good players that can play on the left-hand side of attack, like Atik and Ito, but they're not as influential on the right-hand side. So like, there's always that imbalance. They like to play quite fluid in the top three, and they just look, it just didn't work enough for them. And unfortunately for Magdeburg, Hannover were able to get a second goal through Samuel Royer. There was a thought that maybe Sebastian Ernst had impeded the action of the goalkeeper, but that was thrown away. And then in stoppage time, Cedric Toyker, who came off the bench, he gets the third and final goal of the match, essentially just dribbling through the goalkeeper, and 11 goals of the season for him. So Hannover are in a really good spot here. You know, they reduced the gap to 2. They finally break their run of 4 games without a win. And now the season really begins for them now. They've got 3 really big games. They've got Schalke on the weekend, which they will feel they can get a result. And I tend to agree they can, especially at home. They've got Braunschweig in the Niedersachsen Derby on the following weekend. And then home to St. Pauli, which I'll also be at. That could be a pivotal game in whether they can seriously contend as a playoff spot team or not, really. But also for St. Pauli, it's massive as well. But yeah, a really good result for Hannover. They're in a good spot. I thought Zila was good in goal when he needed to be. Christiansen and Leopold were very good in midfield. It wasn't like the most comprehensive performance from Hannover, but they did have 21 shots on goal. They got what they wanted. And eventually, they from the big chances, they were able to wield luxury and victory. So we'll see how they get on as the season progresses. But for Magdeburg, it's worrying signs. They've lost three on the bounce. They're only 3 points, 2 points actually. Yeah, 2 points ahead of Kaiserslautern in the relegation playoff spot. So they are, you would say, teams 12 to 17. That's the real relegation battle. We will talk about Osnabrück in Group 3, but it's really hard to see them finding a way as the season progresses. So we'll see if Magdeburg can get a result against Elversberg, and we're going to talk about them next, I think. So, yeah, it's a pretty tough... that's a pretty big game, and then it's Hamburg and then Hansa Rostock. So a pivotal April for Magdeburg to try and avoid being sucked into that, or to get out of that relegation scrap. It's going to be very important for them. Lastly, in Group 2, let's talk about Braunschweig. Eintracht Braunschweig hosted Elversberg on Saturday. They wore the special kit, which I actually think was quite nice. Quite nice looking. The yellow with the sort of the accent yellow stripes. They wore the different font as well, which they didn't have on the shorts. That the Puma, one of the stock Pumas fonts from a few seasons ago, they had that on the shorts still. But a mightily impressive performance from Braunschweig. They win 5-0 against Elversberg. Now, it sounds like I'm not really giving it much, but remember, at the start of the show, we're going to power through this. But yeah, they were dominant. It was a really professional performance, a very mature performance against a team that is sliding a little bit in Elversberg. But yeah, 5 goals. Robin Kraus opened the scoring. Emin Bacic got a goal just before halftime. He's got 4 goals this season. And then they scored 3 times in the last 15 minutes of normal and added time through a penalty from Hassan Kurece, Florian Kruger, and then Kurece again to make it 5. And it seemed as if we were reaching a period where Braunschweig was slipping away. And there was a feeling that potentially they might be done, which was understandable. I think a lot of us felt that, you know, under Schoening, you sort of have a shelf life. It seemed like this, the plan that they had worked with, which was seat deep, play counter, but then it relies on them being ultra efficient going forward. It's a really dangerous game to play, especially if you're not efficient in the final third, which over the last few weeks, before their win, prior to the international break, when they went on that slump, they just couldn't get anything going. I think they became a bit too predictable. They didn't have plan A. Well, they didn't have plan B, it felt like. And the tweaking didn't really work. They still have problems scoring goals. Like 30 goals this season is what, the third, equal third worst in the division ahead of Hansa Rostock and Osnabrück. But they... You know, they started the match day with 25 goals, so they were, you know, in a very bad spot heading into the match day. And look, they had more chances. Like Philippe had a great chance to score from like a counter attack. And like his pace troubles a lot of teams that play high lines. If he could be a bit more efficient in front of goal, they might be in an even better position than they are today, to be honest. So yeah, it's quite a fascinating sort of situation. The penalty. We should probably talk about the penalty. What on earth was Van der Merch doing? I just don't understand why your hands are so far up there, right against your head, in a headed duel. What are you doing? What are we doing here? In a period where Elversberg was starting to sort of run it back a little bit. It was only 2-0. The game was very much, you know, if they could snatch a goal, it becomes a little bit more stressful for Braunschweig. You know, they'd made some changes at the half with Fiel and Varner coming on for Stock and Pinkert. But that penalty was a killer. Like, it just broke the camel's back, per se. I just don't understand what he was doing. And obviously, Kurce has been pretty efficient from the spot. and job done. And like the ratings of the games don't really show up, but like Nicholas Kristof was really good for Elversberg, and you know, they had 10 shots on target in the game. Braunschweig, like Elversberg gave up some pretty good quality chances, and Kristof was there. He was big, and I think it was really unfortunate for him that it ended up with 5, because he arguably had one of his best games of the season. as ridiculous as that sounds, and you have to there's an understanding that that can happen. You can play your best game and then you're like, Jesus, I've given up 5 goals. It wasn't his fault they lost. He actually was really good, but he was definitely let down by those ahead of him. So yeah, you know, for Elversberg, like the thing for them is, okay, so they're 4 points ahead of that this group of teams on 31 points. They've lost 4 of their last 5 games. This league is tough. And the next 3 games for them are gigantic. Magdeburg, who are 4 points behind them, and they're trying to close the gap. St. Pauli, who, of course, are top of the table. And then Schalke at home on Friday night. Some massive games. And they're going to have to start picking up points. We talk about like 38 to 40 points being probably the realistic margin or the number of points you need to survive. And this season has been pretty abnormal in terms of, it seems like you might need a little bit more even. I'm not so sure, but probably not. I would say 38 is still the number going forward. But they are very much getting dragged back into it. It's going to be very difficult for them. And this next 3 weeks will play a really big role in how their season plays out. So it'll be very interesting. You know, Braunschweig, tough couple of games. They've got Düsseldorf and Hanover, both sides fighting for a playoff spot. And arguably against probably Hanover, the way they want to play now under Schöning might actually benefit them a little bit. They can sit a little bit deeper. And they know what they want to do, get on the break. But they can't, in that game, they can't go behind early, because it'll be a really tough game for them if they fall behind early. As we saw, they got ahead early in this game. They controlled it for the first half. They got the second goal before the break. And from there, you know, they withheld Elversberg pressure. They got the third and it was game over. So, yeah, let's see what happens from here. Let's take our final break. And on the other side, we'll discuss our Group 3 game, starting with that 6 goals thriller at the Olympiastadion as Hertha hosted Nürnberg. Two sides were a bit of an outside chance, but if we're being honest with ourselves, they probably aren't in the hunt for a promotional playoff spot, is Hertha and Nürnberg. Both sides entered the match day sitting essentially in mid-table, in positions 9th and 10th. And what we got was a really fascinating top spieler that's arguably was a little bit more entertaining than Der Klassiker. That being said, Der Klassiker was amazing, and you know, if you get the chance to go to that game, highly recommended. But what we got was just a ridiculously good first, like a game. It was just amazing. But Hertha were really the antagonists of their own downfall in the first half. Two pretty bad defensive errors that led to goals. The first one for Can Özgün, who, what can be said about this guy? You know, I think the estimated fee was like 10 million. I read somewhere. I can't confirm that. But the kid's a wizard. I hope Turkey play him in the Euros. I really do, because the kid's got skill. So he gets the opening goal, and then the second goal was just an absolute calamity of errors from, I think it was Dudziak, Kenny, and I want to say it was Dardai in the end. Dardai tried to clear the ball, and it became a through ball to Schleimer. You had a one-on-one with Marius Gersbeck, and jeez, bad. Schleimer gets his 4th goal of the season, and it was 2-0 and event. But Hertha started to rebuild, which was a testament of the character. Winkler gets the goal from a great cross from Riza to make it his 5th goal of the season as well. I think he scored 3 in his last 2 games as well. So good to see he's back in form. Changes were necessary for Hertha, so Maza and Dudziak were given the axe in favour of Niederlechner and Armin Barkok, and they couldn't have started the second half even worse. They conceded 2 minutes in, and Ozun just showed what an unbelievable talent this guy is. He essentially just slalomed his way through the Hertha defence, and look, it wasn't exactly like a strong finish to the near side. I probably err on the side of like it was poor goalkeeping from Gersbeck to give up a goal at the near post. That was a theme throughout the weekend, for especially in the Bundesliga, it seemed a bit more noticeable. Goals being conceded at the near post. Not good is the sort of the definition. Not good at all. So, yeah, 3-1 after 47 minutes, and it was clear that there were some problems. There were some problems for Hertha. But again, they found a way, and they scored twice in the space of 3 minutes through Haris Tabakovic, who is equal top scorer with Christos Tsolis of Fortuna Düsseldorf, as we mentioned earlier in the game. And really from there, Hertha like dominated. They were really in control of the pace of play. I mean, both teams gave up a lot of shots on goal. So it wasn't like exactly both teams were going to win a Pulitzer Prize for defense. It was a strange game, but it was an exciting one, and really end-to-end stuff, and the creative players were really able to make the most of their opportunities in this game. So the result doesn't really help or hurt either side. I would say both are pretty safe from relegations. They're eight and nine points clear of the relegation playoff spot. So I think I'm pretty comfortable in saying that teams that are 10 and above can't get relegated. But I would also say that they are too far away to make an impression on the promotional playoff spot. And their form equally suggests that they're just not good enough at this stage in the season. Jens Kastrup was pretty good. He assisted 2 goals. Both the Özcan goals were off him. There was an incident where Kastrup and referee Alexander Sarta just collided with each other like inconspicuously, and I don't think anyone knew what had happened, and it looks even weirder on the replay as well. But they were good sports about it, which was great. So that's that was good to see that they were both okay, obviously. But some big games coming up. Nürnberg, of course, have got Kiel, which will be pretty important for Kiel more than anyone. But, you know, for Nürnberg, it's about finishing the season the right way. They've obviously shown some growth and development. They, you know, compared to last season, you know, they've already scored more goals than they managed. Defensively, they obviously need a bit of work. And over the off-season, we'll see that. I think that's a pretty realistic expectation that they'll improve defensively. But for Hertha, look, they have promotion caliber offensive power, which they've shown this season, but they're just not good enough defensively as well. And, you know, to give up 3 goals in the manner that they did, which they essentially helped them on several occasions, suggests that they are still far away. But there was an acknowledgement entering the season that they weren't going to be a promotion challenger this year, and they were building to next season. But it does seem like the Capital Club have a lot on their plate going forward. They're at Paderborn on Friday night before a World Feed game, also on Friday night against Hansa Rostock. Let's talk about Osnabrück. Of course, Osnabrück have actually been in all right form. If you sort of take the form table as it is, that they're actually in better shape than a lot of the teams in what, from say 7 to them. So, they'd won 2 of their last 4, hoping to get back to the winning ways after 2 consecutive defeats. They're at Wiesbaden. And yeah, look, 1 goal was enough. And it was Christian Conte who essentially ran from halfway to the 18-yard box, completely untouched. I just don't understand why no one thought maybe we should make a tackle. Like, Conte's got great pace, and he's In terms of chance creation, he's proven to be quite intelligent. And look, if should Osnabrück go down, I think Zweite Bundesliga club should really take a look at him. He can be a little bit inconsistent, admittedly, and that's probably the frustration about him, is that you don't know what Conte you're going to get on a per game basis. But he was good in this one. He was very good his 61 minutes were quite strong, and yeah, just abysmal defending from Wiesbaden to not make a tackle, and eventually Conte walks through untouched to get the one and only goal of the game. There was a bit of controversy in this one where it looked like Wiesbaden had equalized through Alexander Vukotic, but the referee Max Burda plucked a foul on Vukotic for what seemed like pretty innocuous contact. Like the contact was there, but for mine, I'm not so sure that was a fair free kick to give. Mainly, like, I understand there's a player safety, but you look at like the position that Adini gets himself into. He eventually just ducks before Vukotic even leaves the ground from the cameras that I've seen. And I don't know what Vukotic is supposed to do in that situation. Like, he plays the ball. I understand player safety is at the forefront and totally understandable. In this situation, I just don't know. And like, Adini kept playing. He played until minute 85 before he was subbed out. 85. And the goal happened like midway in the second half. Like, I just don't understand it. I think it was very strange. But like, this was such an unbelievable win for Osnabrück, because they were smashed in this game, especially in the second half, which was understandable. They played like a team that was trying to just hold on, which I totally understand. They gave up a lot of chances, and 28 all told. But Wiesbaden were just grossly inefficient. Four of those were on target. They obviously had the goal that was disallowed, which I think had they got the goal, that we might have seen them go on and win the game, because they had all the momentum. They were very strong. You know, I thought Heuser was great again. He's had some really good games over the last few weeks, excluding the international break, of course. But yeah, had Wiesbaden won, of course, you would argue that they might be in a really safe position. But now, much like Magdeburg, and we'll talk about Schalke in a sec, they're in the relegation fight again. They've lost three of the last five, and now it's becoming a bit dangerous once again for them. We knew if it wasn't for the fact they've got one of the best defenses in the league, equal third, they would be in real trouble. Like, their defense has been outstanding throughout the season. And it was good again today. Yesterday, like, Vukotic was great. Mockenhelp was good. You know, they were better with. A bit of pill to swallow for Kalczynski and co. Like, they should have won the game. They were just infinitely better. And even though they're, and I guess that this will be interesting now for Osnabrück as well, because Cuisance got sent off for the second time this season. They lose a creative outlet. Wasn't exactly like his best game, but he was solid enough to provide an option. But now that game against Greuther Fürth becomes even bigger for Osnabrück. After all the hard work of getting back into it, where it looked like they were really making headway, and then they lost those two games where teams like Braunschweig and Hansa Rostock and Kaiserslautern were all picking up points. You know, it's an interesting situation that they see themselves in. I don't know if they'll be good enough to close the gap, but we've seen stranger things. For Wiesbaden, they're at Rostock. Massive game for both sides. It is a 6-pointer, and should Rostock win that game, they'll be level on points. Yeah, it's actually been quite incredible, because if memory serves me right, Wiesbaden, after, was it 12 match days, had 23 points, which was a club record for their time in the Zweite Bundesliga. Since then, so we've gone 15 match days, they've accumulated 8 points. which is amazing. It's unbelievable. But it shows you how difficult this league can be, and despite how strong you start, it's how you finish. And this will be the big test for them. going forward. You know, we've got 7 games remaining. They've got some tricky fixtures coming up. How they take points? How can they take points away? Can they get a result in Rostock? They've got Fortuna at home in their next home game in 2 weeks. Can they get a result? That is going to be the biggest question for them. We're going to have to wait and see. And lastly, let's head to the Feltons Arena. Schalke hosted Karlsruhe. This game was 0-0 in the end. It was the only goalless game of the match day. And look, it was a pretty frustrating watch. I thought Marius Müller was again spectacular. I thought Schalke's first half was positive. They looked in control. They had some great chances in the match. They almost won it late with Karaman, but he missed wide. And it's not a good it's a point, and you take the point. You understand that, you know, given that Kaiserslautern, Rostock lost, but to only be 2 points above the playoff spot and 3 above direct relegation is obviously concerning. Winless in their last 3. There was a situation where there was a thought that Schalke should have had a penalty. I'm not sure. It sort of bordered on the 50-50 range, it seemed. But I guess it's a good result for Schalke to get a point against a team that can score goals. And Karlsruhe are one of the best defensive teams in the division, you know, 55 goals this season, which is second best behind Fortuna Düsseldorf, who've got 59. Granted, you know, that 7 goals against Magdeburg is doing a little bit of heavy lifting. But, you know, it was a tough game. You know, you've got Zivzavate and Matanovic, who have been in great form. It was interesting that they went back to the front two again with that 4-4-2. I thought Bifuss was really good as well. You know, he hasn't played a lot of football recently. They needed that. Look, he was their third choice option, of course, with the injury to Robert Bormut, who's going to be out till November with the ACL, which is a shame. So hopefully he recovers well. They still don't have a Shaughnessy who hasn't played for hasn't played regular football for a good 18 months, it seems. So, you know, they chose Bifuss over Kobold, and I thought, you know, they played quite well with Franca. Dreves was good when he needed to be. For Karlsruhe, like, obviously they would have loved to have won this game. I just don't think they did enough for longer periods. Like, granted, they were better in the second half. But, it always felt like they were quite happy to take the point and leave. So, yeah. Good result. I guess, yeah, the big thing for Karlsruhe going forward is, you know, they can play the disruptor role. They got St. Pauli next week. But also, it's the farewell tour. Lars Stindl announced over the international break that he was going to retire from football. A magnificent servant of the game of football in Germany. And, obviously this move to Karlsruhe back to Karlsruhe hasn't been as fruitful as previous. But, clearly a player that commands a lot of respect and attention, and he's done a fantastic job in having a very fantastic career. So we do wish him all the best going forward. So kudos to you, sir. And, we'll see how they go. For Schalke, of course, the big one, you know, we see Asan Adragu made his return after that long injury layoff from his time with the U17 team. German international team, but it's going to be an interesting one. I'm not so certain that I don't know, but the team's obviously not built for relegation, and look, the next game is tough. Look, their biggest issue is they can't win away from home. They've won twice away from the Feltons Arena all season, and Hanover, after their pretty comprehensive win on Sunday, will feel very confident they can get a result here. So, you know, then you've got to look at, okay, they've got Nürnberg on that's Saturday night, and then they've got Elversberg away. So, then these next 3 weeks are going to be huge. If they struggle to pick up points here, Yeah, it's going to be really hard to see, as difficult as that sounds, it's going to be really hard to see them surviving the relegation zone. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Of course, this is the first one that I'm shooting in Germany, so in my apartment room at the moment, getting ready to pack food to my next destination. So yeah, I do apologize that I'm not feeling 100%, but you know, as you know, the show's got to go on and I don't have a replacement, so it's just got to be me. So I do apologize, but yeah, appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to the podcast, and yeah, have a fantastic week. You'll hear from us soon with our Match Day 28 review. We look forward to seeing all of the action, and yeah, we'll see you next time when the Zweite Bundesliga returns.